Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before thee and our hearts are bowed in reverence before thy holy throne. Before we open thy word, we realize that there are but few in number here this evening, but that really is not of any concern. We gather together in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we believe that he is in our midst, and his presence and his power is what makes the difference in our lives and in this church and anywhere in this world. For in him is life and truth, and everything that is perfect and beautiful and light found in him. We thank thee, Lord, for our Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name we desire to magnify and glorify, and whom we rely upon in this hour of worship to speak to us and direct us. And so we ask, Lord, that thou would make our hearts prepared to receive thy word. We pray that thou would help us to discard any thoughts of busyness and turn away from any thoughts of sin or evil, that we would confess them before thee and ask for thy forgiveness, that we might be clean and that we might come before thee in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to receive from thee and to fellowship with thee, to draw near to thee. This we do ask in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Loved ones, if we would turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, for our reading this evening. With God's help, I'd like to read, beginning with verse 1, perhaps to verse 20. St. John, chapter 8, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Jesus came to the temple here in the beginning of this chapter. He desired often to share the word that his Father had given to him with all of the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel, with all of those who would hear in the synagogues and in the temple that gathered together. He shared with them the words of the kingdom and how men might enter in. And this was a particular joy to the Lord, as he often went teaching and preaching in his life and ministry here below. And yet there was an enemy that came in that caused disruption and interrupted the teaching. Just as the word is shared through lips of clay and opportunities arise for us to read the word, an enemy will come and seek to take away the word that is sown into our hearts. And so with an understanding that this is the reality that Jesus described, perhaps we would consider it a precious thing that we would hear the words of Jesus and hold on to them even stronger, that we would hide them even deeper within our hearts, and that they would be allowed to permeate through our very being. These enemies were the scribes and the Pharisees. They had made a plan. They had plotted to disrupt Jesus and his teaching, and they planned to discredit him by bringing him a dilemma that would cause them an opportunity to accuse him, an accusation that he forsook the law. These are the ones that, in general, they would hide their sins. They would wear a mask. Jesus called them hypocrites. And they made a plan, and it seemed like, at the beginning, they were winning because they grabbed the attention of the crowds, they disrupted the teaching, and they brought their challenge to Jesus. And they asked him the question, what should be done in this situation? The situation was one that they could not even answer either. They weren't permitted to execute someone according to the law, so they couldn't do it. But they wanted to push Jesus to the edge to see, what will he do? Will he go one way or will he go the other way? And Jesus, in a wisdom that we can take on when we face a dilemma and a decision that seems like two bad things that you could choose between, he took his time. Oh, how we need to take our time. Be swift to hear the word of God and his Spirit instructing us how to respond. Jesus didn't need the time to deliberate. He knew exactly what he would answer, but we certainly do. And we can take a lesson from the life of Jesus for ourselves and follow in his pattern. And he did not directly answer their particular question, but turn the tables and turn the situation around on them and asked them and told them, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her." Now who has the dilemma in their heart and on their lap and in front of them? They want to do what is right by according to their understanding of the law. But Jesus gives them this criteria, him that is without sin. And they one by one begin to put their heads down and walk away because they knew they had been brought to a place where they were helpless. They could not give an answer. They could not proceed with the challenge that even they put in front of Jesus. They're helpless. There's also a woman who's brought into this scene. We don't know. It's not particularly clear. If you take the Pharisee's word, she was guilty of a grave sin. But it could be that they, in their lies and their hypocrisy, had set her up for it, or just simply lied outright. But she was caught in the midst. Perhaps using her as a tool by which they could bring an accusation. If she would keep silent, they could have their way with the crowds and with her. Well, regardless of what the truth of the past was, Jesus knew it all together. He knew it perfectly. There was nothing that was unclear to him about this challenge. We see parts of life explained and parts of our path here below, and we don't understand things perfectly. But when we read of Jesus Christ and how he lived, how he answered, we're given the assurance that he knew everything perfectly. And we're taught and reminded when we are unsure, when we are in need of help, when we are in need of guidance, to rely on the Lord. He does know all. And so it doesn't matter if we don't understand everything. We know that Jesus understands. He knew exactly what she had done. And he knew exactly what these scribes and Pharisees were doing. And she's caught in the midst. She doesn't confess. She doesn't bring any argument against them. She's silent. She also can do nothing. These Pharisees and scribes seem to be in control of the situation, or so they thought. And this woman seemed that she is so out of control. You know, my friends, this is what sin will do. It will take control. It will be a vicious master. It will leave you with no hope and nothing to say and nothing to show for it. Her condition was fairly obvious. Their condition, that they were unable to proceed, that they were helpless, maybe wasn't so obvious, but that is the reality. And we can see now that they are not so different. And they are not so different from man and us today. But we will see what makes a difference. When they come to a point when they are helpless and they have no resource of their own, they cannot proceed. They're in this spot where they cannot do anything. You wonder, will they learn the lesson? If you come to a point in your life where you realize you cannot do anything, your only hope is to trust in the Lord. And that is what Jesus makes available for us. Through faith, that we can come to Him, that we can receive Him and what He stands for, and receive His forgiveness. When we are hopeless, when we are without strength, and we realize that Christ came and He died for the ungodly, He died for me and for you. He shared that precious mercy. And we see that the Pharisees and scribes, they rejected that opportunity. They were in that place of inability, of weakness, of a realization that they were not without sin. And they resisted Jesus Christ. They rejected Him. Because the knowledge of the law is to bring us to the knowledge of our need for a Savior, to our need for Jesus, and all that He can bring. On the other hand, this woman, helpless in this situation, she finds that Jesus extends mercy unto her, and she simply gladly receives what is freely offered. How many times do we read of Jesus Christ and how He is the meaning for our life? He is the purpose for which we've been created, to worship and honor Him, to be a part of His body, to embrace Him, to receive Him, and turn Him away. Or do not take it to heart the way that He would have us to do, that would be a way that would transform our lives as we're instructed in the Word. As we read that He is more than capable to do, that we would receive not just a rite of baptism or a ceremony. Of course not. We understand that God is calling us to a relationship with Him, a living God, relationship with Jesus Christ, to receive Him. That is what made a difference between these two, this group and this woman. And that is what the Lord wants us to do with the Scripture. That is what the Lord wants us to pray as we read. John wrote these things that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ and that we might have life through His name. There was a purpose, there was an intention behind the words that were written, and they are here, and they're plain in black and white and red and white, and they are powerful. And maybe the Spirit would speak to our hearts individually on how I can receive and embrace and submit to Jesus Christ more, that I might have His life in abundance abiding within me, that I would not see my condition of inability to find salvation or to deal with circumstances and not say, well, I'm just going to give up, or I'm just going to do my own thing and I'm going to ignore it. Maybe I'm going to find some entertainment to soothe it or whatever have you. I've reached a dead end, or I know that I'm very close, and I have the Word of God in front of me, and He calls me to receive Him, to embrace His life, His service, His character, everything that He was about. And we do it in faith, trusting, not knowing the end, exactly how God will work everything out, But in faith and in obedience to the Lord, we answer the call and receive him as he knocks on our hearts. Jesus offered a gracious mercy to this woman. Is God not also that gracious to us? You know, in sending his only begotten Son for us, that he might bleed upon the cross and suffer for us and save us. And we see that this woman did not say much. How did Jesus know that he could say this? Neither do I condemn thee. She didn't confess. She didn't say words that would indicate faith. She says, "No man, Lord." She called him Lord, but that doesn't mean a whole lot just to say the word. All that we know is that Jesus knew. Jesus knew her heart, and he knows your heart, and he knows my heart. As we're before him, we're easily read as a book, and he knows when we come before him in faith, and he can speak words of mercy to us. But he also continues and says, go and sin no more. And so the reality of that faith would be borne out in obedience to the word of Jesus Christ. That's how you know. You might not see great evidence or wonderful accolades or attention-grabbing headlines from your life when you humbly come before the Lord and receive what his word promises to offer. But if you do receive, then he will sup with you. He will provide all that you are needing. He will provide all that we are needing to embrace him in the areas where we see a dead end and where we see no hope, where we see no solution. And the world offers us many things to comfort, to soothe, to distract. And they say, you don't need to face anything that gives you trouble. What you need is you need to serve Satan in a few different ways so that you can get the relationships that you want. You need to serve Satan in a few different ways so that you can have the fun that you want or have the notoriety or attention that you want. Whatever it may be, serve Satan in just a few different ways, and then you can have what you want. That's the worship of idols. That's the offer of the world. You can have whatever you want if you do a few acts of service to Satan. What does Jesus offer? He says, there's a cross for you to take. And the world says, you can't handle that cross. You can't take it. There's no way. You might as well give up now. You might as well give in to whatever desires, alcohol and drugs and the. You know what the world offers. You know what Satan offers that grabs your attention and that acts as a distraction and that stands in the way between a dead end and a road to life. That's really what it is. Jesus says you can. Jesus says that you can face the greatest fear that you think you have, not by yourself, but by receiving him, by receiving his life. Jesus says you can face the greatest injustice, just like that innocent Lamb of God faced for us. He said, "Follow me." That's faith. You can with the Lord. Without Him, we're lost. Our only hope is in Him. Our trust in His mercy, His kindness, and that He is the light of the world. And that if one would embrace and follow Him and receive Him and follow Him, he shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Times are confusing. There's all kinds of different systems of morality, right and wrong. There's all kinds of relative ways of thinking about things. But Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." When we are in the Word and we are following the Lord, we have all of the light that we need to take the next step that the Lord desires for us to fulfill his purpose for us in his kingdom. We may not have the whole map, but we have everything that faith says is sufficient, it's enough, and I'm willing to do, I'm willing to follow, I'm willing to serve, I'm willing to obey. And how great a hope we have. This woman, she was helpless, and we can see it so clearly. We read in Philippians chapter 3 about one who received our Savior and who lived in him and explained this relationship like this: "And be found in him," that is Christ, "not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." She received. What does the Lord have for you to receive of his abundant provision, of the riches in Christ Jesus, whereby God will provide for all of our needs? This woman didn't have a great testimony, didn't have a great word that she could point to that gave her the right or merit to receive these words of mercy. It was undeserved. And that's how we stand before the Lord, unworthy though we are, but grateful to receive all that the Lord offers to us. So maybe we have received a little bit, or no, none of us received a little bit, that was wrong. Maybe we have received, and yet the Word still calls us to embrace and seek Him more and more. The Word also teaches us about being found, not only in Him, but being found of Him. It says, "We, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things," it assumes that it's true that we value and anticipate the promises of God being fulfilled in Jesus Christ and his return and his reign in glory, and that we love his appearing. The Lord prepares a crown of righteousness for everyone that has that hope abiding in their hearts. This is the testimony of the Word. So seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. To receive Jesus Christ and have him within us and to be in him will bring about a diligence whereby our faith grows in virtue and knowledge, in temperance, in love, brotherly kindness. There's a diligence, there's an urgency, there's a zeal that is evident in the life of one who has this hope, because there's limited time. We don't know how many days. We don't know how many hours. But because we look forward with expectant faith, we occupy ourselves here with diligence. And this is something that is actually, it sounds really good. Yeah, this is what we do. We are really diligent. But are we? Am I? Put God to the test with this command of diligence. I know we all have busy schedules. We don't have time. Make the time and see if God will not pour out a blessing that perhaps you've missed and cannot contain. But a diligence is what is taking place here. A diligence that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Be diligent about following Jesus' command as He gave to the woman, go and sin no more. That you reject sin, that you turn away from it at the first instance of temptation, that when it becomes something that comes to your conscience and realization, that you would repent, that you would confess. If there would be any area of disagreement or controversy or difficulty between brethren, be diligent. Proverbs says, don't give sleep to your eyes. Make peace. Make things right. Because Jesus is returning again. And when He comes, we want to love His appearing and be ready to put everything behind. Be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Jesus asked, when I return, shall I find faith? Here's the evidence that we diligently pursue and keep the words of Jesus Christ our Savior. Because we've received Him, He's received us, we abide in Him. May that be our hope for this evening and throughout our lives. The honor and glory of God. Amen.
As Christ made that statement that He said, no man, Lord, and Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. And this is probably one of the first recorded times that Christ interceded for someone. He was a mediator, if you will. And we read that also in the book of John, where He says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So we can be thankful for Christ interceding for us, just as He did this woman. He didn't come to condemn us, He came to save us. But He will judge us according to the things that we do and the things that we don't do. We need to bear that in mind as well. So let us remember to take and call upon Him when we face these situations, and He'll help us to overcome the sins that so easily beset us. Amen.